Laureen Gilbert is a financial advisor with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
Well, it is the first Wednesday of the new year, and you know we got to do it. We got to talk about the remainder of the new year. And to talk to us as she does each and every Wednesday morning, Laureen Gilbert, who's the president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services. And the Wealthwise moment. Welcome to 2023, Laureen.
Well, happy new year, 2023. It's hard to say, isn't it?
You know what? I've already mistakenly written 2022 a couple of times on a couple of different things. So, yes.
But so, here we are.
Yeah. How's your new year going so far?
Oh, it's fantastic. I always get energized about a new year with all, you know, setting goals and I don't call them New Year's resolutions. I call them goals. So it's going through the goal process and putting all that together. And that's really fun.
Now, in your capacity, and I know that you're always constantly forward looking,
yes.
you find yourself having to go back a little bit historically, correct, in order to make good decisions moving forward.
Oh, yeah. So every year, Ed, I do 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year goals. And I track all of that each year, and like I look back and okay, which goals did I accomplish, which did I not accomplish, and then move those over. Okay, didn't get those done. But what's fun too is sometimes the 3 year goals actually happen in 1 year.
Oh.
So, you know, I may not get all my 1 year goals done, but then some of the 3 year come back to the 1 year, and then it all kind of helps me continue to move forward.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm glad you do that, because what I want to do today is look back a little bit and then maybe have you not crystal ball it, but maybe look forward a little bit in what we're talking about here. So we know that last year was a shaky year of economic uncertainty. A lot of the market cap titans, the stalwarts, the large, well-established companies that offer long-term growth potential, they got crushed. Apple got crushed. Tech companies were long seen as invincible money printing machines by investors. And that wasn't the case last year. Other recent darlings that were sent sputtering were Moderna, but we know that was a, you know, kind of a glut in the market of vaccine and many reasons for that. But for most of last year, the consumer was the driver. Are consumers losing steam, and will they lose steam into the first quarter?
Well, amazingly, the consumers spent $1 trillion of the money that they had saved during the pandemic. So what happened is with all the stimulus, people did have a lot of cushion. There was a lot of money floating out there. And then what's carried them more recently was spending that money. And now the big question going forward, really what you're saying too, is now what? Now what happens? That money, in a sense, has been spent. Things are clearly slowing down in the economy. What happens to the consumer? So far, the consumer has been somewhat resilient. And I think it's going to be tougher for the consumer because of the backdrop of interest rates. So when you look at interest rates going up as much as they have over the last year, to go buy a car, if you don't have cash, you're looking at a very high interest rate. To buy a home, the rates are twice as much as they were a year ago. That makes a significant difference on purchasing. So all of those big ticket items we think are going to slow down. And where the consumer is spending the most now is not on goods, which is what they were spending money on, but on services. So the shift has happened to service spending, and so people are spending on travel. You ask anybody you know, Ed, and I bet somebody has, you know, everybody you know has a travel plan in 2023. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has been, even 2022, was people were going to Europe. People were doing those big trips that they weren't able to do during COVID. That's where the money is being spent, more on services than on goods.
Okay. Thank you for that. And explain, if you would, I read this this morning, actually. What is a slow session? And are we expecting a slow session?
Well, slow sessions in the markets mean not a lot of trading and, you know, a more muted. And that's what happens during the holiday season and a little bit of a hangover into the new year. But I don't know that we're going to continue to see it all of first quarter. What we're gearing up for is actually Friday, January 13th. Friday, January 13th, so in a couple of weeks, is when guidance starts to happen again. We start the new cycle of earnings season, and that guidance is going to be critical and key for where are we with stocks. So we've seen, you know, we saw a terrible 2022 as far as the markets are concerned. You know, S&P down around 20, NASDAQ down around 30%. Dismal numbers. But as I said last week, rarely do you have 2 years in a row. There's only been four times since the Great Depression that you've had 2 years in a row where the markets were negative. So I, you know, do not think that we're going to see 2 years in a row this next year. So as far as returns are concerned, but I do think the start of the year is going to be a slower, you know, to that point, it's going to be a slow go as people kind of get their feet, kind of say, you know, what do we want to do as far as investing, kind of see where things go with earnings. The good news is that inflation continues to come down substantially. And today we get the minutes from the Federal Reserve as far as their last meeting. And looking at those notes are going to be key as to what they're thinking about going forward, because we know that their next rate hike will be in February. And my baseline case right now is down to 25 basis points, whereas before it was at 50. So even our expectations as far as what the Fed is going to do is coming down. So all because those numbers were seeing inflation starting to ease.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned that, because as bad as it was early in 2022, inflation toward the end of the year started cooling, as well as we had historic jobs recovery. We haven't got December's numbers yet, but we had great numbers in November. And also gas prices have plunged. So those three things, historic jobs recovery, inflation cooling down, and gas prices plunging, what does that mean for investors? And conversely, what does that mean for consumers?
Well, what does that mean, meaning that inflation has come down?
Well, those three things combined, the historic jobs recovery, inflation cooling down, and gas prices having plunged.
Well, the reality is I still see a recession in 2023. I think it's going to be hard to
I was
avoid.
Hoping you wouldn't say that.
I know. I mean, I wish I wasn't saying that, but I think it's going to be hard to avoid a recession. However, I think the recession will be a mild recession. And part of that goes back to what I was just saying about services. The demand for services is enormous. And I can't stress that enough. So to see the demand in services and wages that are still very strong, I think those are the keys that are going to make the recession milder. Okay, so it definitely we have to expect a recession, but know that because wage growth has been high and service demand is high, I think that's going to make it less dramatic.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And I promised myself one of my New Year's resolutions was not to say the words Elon Musk more than 20 times in 2023. So I'm going to get one out of the way right now. Let's talk about Elon Musk for a second. We know that Tesla suffered last year. Evidence of the sinking interest in Teslas was apparent after they announced a rare sale to clear some inventory out. And investors were rattled by those rebates, and they sent the stock plunging 37% just in the month of December. Now, everyone has long questioned, or not everyone, but many people have long questioned whether Tesla was ever worth the $1 trillion valuation that it had at the start of last year. A couple of questions here, and this is my dumb guy moment, and I'm sorry if it is dumb, but how did that happen? How did that valuation happen? And if in fact, yeah, it was valued at that much, was it driven by speculation and not consumers? Because at its peak, Tesla was worth more than 12 of the largest automakers on the planet combined, but had a fraction of their sales.
Yeah, the key to the Tesla valuation has to do with not looking at it as a car company, because just like you said, if you compare it to any of the other automotive companies, that didn't make sense.
Right.
But treated as a technology company, that's where the valuation made sense. And Tesla continues to be a technology driver, and they continue, actually, you know, their stock just got hit. We just knew that just this week got hit once again. Mm-hmm. But if you really look at the numbers on what they're doing, they're ramping up significantly as far as their production. So I think that it all depends on how you are valuing the company. But certainly as an automotive company, the valuation did not make sense. But if you talk to anybody that is in that kind of area of valuation, we're treating it as a technology company.
Okay. Do you see it as an opportunity moving forward?
Well, I have to be careful.
Okay.
That on making any, I can't make any specific recommendations on stocks. But
right.
What I can say is, what I can say is that we hold Tesla as one of our holdings.
Okay. All right. And I think my question was going to be, should I invest in Tesla or buy a Mega Millions ticket this morning? It's almost at $1 billion, I think, on Saturday. Talk about energy prices in Europe and what's happening there, please.
So energy prices in Europe are now below pre-pandemic levels. And you'll remember it wasn't that many months ago that we were talking about, we were worried about an energy crisis in Europe and there wasn't enough energy, you know, to get them through the winter. The issue has been, it's been actually a very mild, warm winter in Europe. Right. And so with that, it's brought down their energy prices. And so that is, and actually to clarify, those natural gas prices are below since before the Russia-Ukraine conflict. And then if we look at inflation over in Europe, that is also coming down. So the inflation landscape is slowing down in Europe significantly. Just to look at France, in France, the inflation unexpectedly slowed to 6.7% in December from a record 7.1% increase in the prior 2 months. So it is slowing down, and that is great for Europe. And we very much are liking what we're seeing in international stocks. And looking at, especially even in emerging markets, we see that as a great opportunity because those areas got hit very hard. And when you look back to what you were saying about valuations, when we look at valuations, they look very attractive in emerging markets as well as all of international.
Beautiful. That's great to hear. Thank you. We haven't talked homes in a while, but I'm seeing that multifamily unit sales are up while single family unit sales are down. Can you explain that for us?
Yes. So existing home sales have declined by 25% year over year. That is a significant number. But what we're seeing in construction is multifamily construction spending is up over 8% from 3 months ago. So there is an uptrend in multifamily construction. And so just as we're seeing this decline in construction spending on single family, we're seeing it rise in multifamily construction. So what that's going to do, it's going to create more units, which will then dampen rental rates. And you'll remember I've talked about that rental rates are a lagging part of the inflation equation. And that's part of why inflation is going to be higher for longer. It's going to, you know, that's the laggard, is the rental rates. So as the construction increases on multifamily, that's going to dampen rental rates over time. That's going to help inflation coming down.
Okay, thank you.
So that's the good news on that, in that part of inflation too, as the construction increases, will start to also subside.
And what's the length of the stagger of time between the time that you read results for the inflation rate and the time that it actually is in effect. Does that make sense? Does the question make sense?
Definitely makes sense. And there is a long lag. There's like a year. Wow. There can be a year lag. And so that's why this is where the Federal Reserve has such a fine line in what they're doing. They're seeing the slowdown. They know it takes a while for it to actually get into the economy. And yet they still want to raise rates enough to where people don't go back to kind of their old habits of going out and doing a rush on everything, spending, and driving demand, you know, a lot of demand. So they're trying to slow that down. So that's their fine line. But that's, once again, why I think 25 basis points sets the tone in February that, hey, we're still increasing, but we're seeing some impact, too, on what's happening.
Right. It's like that tightrope walker at the circus with the long pole, and he's trying to keep the balance.
Definitely.
That's exactly what that seems like.
Definitely.
So how goes your Facebook page, and how goes the writing of your book? I'm going to bug you about this as often as
I
have to.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Wealthwise for Women, please, you know, anybody, please join our Facebook group. We're continuing to ramp that up and create content there and get people involved. And then the book is coming along.
Okay.
And still working on it. I'll keep you posted.
Okay, thank you.
But looking for that Wealthwise for Women book to come to fruition in 2023. That's one of my big goals of the year, is to have that published.
Now, let me ask you a dumb question about the book here. Do you go over what you want on the cover, what the picture should look like? Is it a picture of you? Is it a picture? What's the cover going to look like? Have you already thought of that? Or
have thought about it, tried to work through it,
right,
and then could not come up with what I thought was appropriate until it's completed. Because really, in talking to my friends who are professional authors, they say you really have to get to the very end of the book to then know what that front cover needs to look like. So I will keep you posted.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And how do our listeners find you regularly?
Right. Wealthwisefinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
Well, today is my first day back in 2023, and I am delighted to have shared it with you, Laureen. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you so much, Ed.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. 8:19 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.